Okay, good evening. So first of all, I need to start by thanking Menachem, not only for all the work he does every week in making this chabura possible, but he, by asking me to give this chabura, it really opened my eyes to the last bracha in the Berachas HaShachar that we're going to discuss tonight, and the Yiratzon really that follows, that we're going to focus on. The reason is because if you look at the Yiratzon, and if you look in front of you, there are sheets on the table. All they have on the sheet, like I said, Brian, you don't need to know how to read Hebrew. You have to know the sitter. All they have on the sheet is the bracha, the last bracha in Berachas HaShachar, including the Yiratzon, and it's broken down into line by line, concept by concept. And if you ever slow down, usually you're saying Berachas HaShachar, I don't know where I come from, you wake up early, you know, it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock here in LA, you wake up early at like 10 o'clock, you're saying Berachas HaShachar, so you're speeding through the Yiratzon at the end. But if you stop for a moment, you pay attention, it's so either repetitive or deep and incredibly nuanced, and so many concepts are coming up that it's worth taking a moment to focus and break it down line by line. So I don't know how much of this we'll get through, but what I did for you is I gave you the sheet in front of you, and I gave you pens, which you get to keep unless you misbehave. Anyone need a pen over there? Okay, you get to keep the pens. And the idea is somewhat mandatory notes, that it doesn't have to, don't write down everything I say, but at least the jokes, Gary. And also, other than jokes, write down one idea, one word that you're translating, one word that makes sense in the context that really touched you that you could think about tomorrow morning when you're saying this bracha, so it'll be tremendously helpful. I'll just note, the learning that we're doing tonight is L'il Nishmas Roiza Bas HaRav Yosef Yehuda Umindel, that's on top of your sheet. That's my safti, my wife's grandmother's mother, Babi Roiza. So her yahrzeit is actually tonight, so we're hitting it right in the head. And Safdi really got her money's worth with that sponsorship on the art site. Wow, should have charged more for that. Okay, if you could, to the people in the back, if you pass the paper and the pen, that would be great. So we'll start from the beginning. The bracha says, bracha, I know Rabbi Per began it last week, but we're not going to overlap, I don't think. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, ha-ma'avir sheina me'einai, usnuma me'af apai. So I think Rabbi Per spoke about this idea last week of the removal of sleep, the difference between types of sleep, etc. But from there, we launch into this v'yihi ratzon. This plea, this bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch, this request, v'yiratzon milfenecha, Hashem Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. And we're going to now continue with Targilinu Basar Secha, B'dabkeinu Basar Secha. We're going to ask for all these spiritual aspects of adding to our learning and making sure we're in the right chevra and making sure we're not doing averos and making sure we're going to get an olam hab. We're asking for so many spiritual things, correct? That's what we're going to do. Hashem, help us keep Torah and mitzvah. So the very, very first question a person has to ask is, what are these two parts of the bracha doing together? What does Hamavir Shena Me'inai, the bracha thanking Hashem for removing sleep, have to do with the ensuing words of Yehi Ratzon that Hashem should help me be Mekayim all the mitzvos, learn a lot of Torah? What do the two have to do with each other? And the V connects them. It's one continuum. So what is that continuum? What connects them? What's the nexus between these two statements that we're making at the same time? So the first idea that comes up in some of the Achronim, some of the Mefarshim on the Siddur, is based on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, in Ayin Aleph, that we know, Sheinas Rishoyim is Anah Lahem V'Hanah La'Olam. Sheinas Tzadikim is Ra Lahem V'Ra La'Olam. Meaning, if a tzaddik takes a nap in the middle of the day, it's not so good. Because when a tzaddik is awake, he's doing mitzvahs, he's learning Torah, he's doing mitzvahs, he's helping people, he's bettering himself, he's bettering the world. It's in Ben Sura Mora. And when a rasha takes a nap in the middle of the day, it's pretty good. Better he should go to sleep than do all the rishas, than do all the bad things, the averas that he does, and ruin people's lives and ruin the world. So rishayim, if they sleep, sheinasan, when they sleep, is hana lahem v'na lolam. Better off they should be sleeping. A tzaddik, better off he should be awake, doing mitzvahs, bettering the world. So say the achronim like this. Here, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamavir Shena Me'enai Usnuma Me'af Apai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank you for removing sleep from our eyes, for waking us up in the morning, for giving us a new day, for giving us these waking moments that we want to take advantage of. But we realize it's a deal. We realize that waking up is contingent on something. Because if it's not worth it to wake us up, then why is he waking us up in the first place? If we're Shenas Rishayim, it's better off that we be sleeping. If we're going to thank Hashem for waking us up in the morning, we have to also say, and by the way, we're recommitted to being tzaddikim, who it's better off, Hamavir Shena, who it's better off that we're awake. So we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only a bakasha, a plea, please help us fulfill the Torah and mitzvos, but we're saying we want to make good on our end of the deal. We know this is a bilateral relationship. We know that you're only waking us up out tonight on condition that I'm going to fulfill my end of the deal, which is to be a tzaddik, for whom it's good to be awake. So we attach these to bracha and the yiratzon here to show it's a bakasha, but it's also a charge. It's also an achrayis. It's a responsibility that we need to live up to our end, that it be a shenas tzaddik, which is ra l'olam. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for waking me up. I'm going to take advantage of the waking moments you give me during this day. Alternatively, or additionally, some of the later Svarim quote from Atzlach in Maseches Brachos. He doesn't say this, but it's based on the Atzlach, where he basically explains that the truth is all of us are chayev to be involved in Torah and in mitzvos all day long, at every point during our day. However, there's a, again, depending on your style, there's a 3 to 12 hour span where you need to sleep. You need either your basic sleep to get your day's work in, or you need your beauty sleep to look as good as Gary, Dovi. I should really use Dovi. I'm sorry about that. Usually it would be you, but Dovi's here. You got to get your beauty sleep in there. So you need 12 hours. You need 8 hours. You need 6 hours. Everyone needs a different amount of time. But everyone needs to sleep. So when we wake up in the morning, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we went to sleep. Thank you for waking us up. We want to say, this is again based on the Tzlach, which is authored by the same person as Nodi Behuda. The Tzlach says when we wake up in the morning, basically, we want to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we had to sleep. We didn't want to sleep. We wanted to be Oseg and Torah and mitzvahs all night long. We can't. You made us human. You made it that we have to sleep a little bit. We got to get a few hours of sleep so that we have the strength to go on the next day. So the first thing we do is say thank you for letting us sleep and waking us up. And we want you to know that all we were thinking the whole night, if we would have had a brain to think it, all we were thinking is Sargilina B'sar Secha and Dabkena B'sar Secha. All we were thinking is we want to be engaged in Torah mitzvahs, but LMI, we're physical. We can't. We have to sleep. So the first statement we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a perspective. We're saying, now that you've woken us up, we want to let you know we only did that because we have to, but we're back in it. We're back in the game. We want to be involved in Torah mitzvos once again. Lastly, we're not going to go into this, but a beautiful, beautiful idea that's worth looking up, at least writing down the Ma'ar Malkum, the source. Rav Schwab, Rabbi Eitan Schnall, a close friend of mine, pointed this out to me. Rabbi Schwab, in his Sefer Mayan Beis HaShoeva, the commentary on Chumash, so in the very beginning, in Parshas Bereishis, he has an unbelievable, really a gorgeous, beautiful comment on this bracha, based on the psukim over there about Adam HaRishon going to sleep, and if you look in the psukim carefully, Adam never wakes up. So Rav Schwab develops a beautiful thesis that really only the Jewish people ever woke up at Har Sinai. Adam, mankind, went to sleep when there was a tardema that fell over him. Only the Jewish people woke up when? By Har Sinai, when they got the mitzvos. So when we wake up and we say, HaMavir Shena Me'inai Yisnuma Me'afapai, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sargilena B'sar Asecha. We said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when we woke up. We woke up when we have Torah and mitzvos. You have to look inside to get the full impact, but it's a beautiful idea. So let's go through again a couple of lines. I don't know how many we'll get through. But we'll see. Shetargilena b'sar asecha, says the we say in the Yiratzon. So obviously it's difficult to address an all-encompassing ultimate tefillah of Targilena b'sar asecha, that you should make us regular in the base medrash. You make us part of the culture of a base medrash, that Torah should be a part of our lives. But perhaps one perspective is in order. The word hergel, which means, you know, routine or regularity, is usually a word that we are allergic to in the Jewish religion. Whether it's for good or for bad, Regilus is usually negative. For good, it's not good to do things by rote. If you daven every day, it's good to be consistent. It is not good to do it by rote. You don't want to do it routinely. You want it to be your routine, but you don't want it to be done routinely. When you learn Torah, you want it to be fresh and exciting and new and geschmack. Every day should be new, the Torah tells us. Every day, kichadashim. So we don't want hergel in Talmud Torah. And the opposite is true also. We don't want a hergel that leads to averos either. You don't want to become that second nature for you to do the wrong thing, that talking Lashon Hara is just instinctual for you. So what are we davening for? The Sargilena B'sar Asecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please make us regular in Torah. Make us routine in the Beis Medrash. Make it a regilus for us that we're involved in Torah. Isn't that a negative? Isn't that something we usually frown upon, that we don't really like? So the truth is, Rav Huttner asked this question. It's not in Pachad Yitzchak, as far as I know. I'm not a bucky in Pachad Yitzchak. As far as I know, it's not there. It's in a sefer called Minchas Shlomo. Minchas Shlomo was a small compendium of a few shmusin by Rav Huttner in Chaim Berlin by one of the Fruchthandlers. So one of the Fruchthandlers wrote down notes on some of these shmusin. They definitely overlap a lot with Pachad Yitzchak, but there are a lot of things in there which aren't contained in Pachad Yitzchak. So one of the shmus is there, related to Chanukah, he asks this very question. He says, why would we daven Sargilena B'sar Asecha? Hashem, give us hergel in Torah. That's a bad thing. Hergel's a bad thing. So Rav Huttner said, hergel could be bad, or hergel could be good. It depends on the starting point. And he quotes a pasuk. I don't remember if he quotes this pasuk or if it's my tushel, I just don't remember. But the pasuk in Tehillim, in Kuf Yud Tes, that's Chaim's favorite parak. That's how he has boys. Anyone wants to have boys, say the whole Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. So the pasuk tells us, David HaMelech says, Chishavti drachai v'ashiva raglai el eid asecha, that I thought of my ways, I thought to go somewhere, but my legs always took me el edo secha. The Medrash tells us what it means, is that David HaMelech thought, I gotta go to the grocery, I gotta go to the supermarket, I gotta go to the basketball game. And as his legs started to walk, he found himself ending up in the Beis Medrash every time. Ooh, I gotta go to the to see my siblings. And somehow he ended up in the Beis Medrash. And he never knew, his feet just carried him to the Beis Medrash. And what the Medrash is praising about David HaMelech is that his body was so well trained. It was so obvious to his body. It was mechanical. It was routine for him to go to the Beis Medrash that he just ended up there even when he was thinking of going somewhere else. Hergel, Regilus. It was so normal to end up in the Beis Medrash that he just ended up there. But that's a good thing, the Medrash says. So what's the praise? I thought it's not a shvach. I thought it's a negative if we have Regilus, if we do things routinely. So Hurtner says, again, it depends on the starting point. Why did David HaMelech go to the Beis Medrash that first time? Because there was a good coffee matzah? Because he heard there was good hak after the shir? Because he likes the way that people talk about the rabbi's drasha afterwards, so he wanted to hang out with those people? He likes the Kiddush, he likes the Kiddush club? That's why he went? No. The first time he went to the Beis Medrash is because he was obsessed with learning. Because he had a single-minded, exclusive focus on Talmud Torah and mitzvos. And if that's the starting point, if that's what you're inculcating into yourself, then integrating that into your regular schedule and ingraining that as a routine in your life is something wonderful, not negative. It's chishati drachai, wherever I'm thinking I'm going to go, I know where I'm going to end up. I'm going to end up back in my happy place of Torah and mitzvos. I'm going to end up in a place of inspiration, a place of growth. But that's where I was always going from the beginning. It's not that I'm going for the wrong reasons and now I'm stuck by rote. If I was going for the right reason, that regilus is a wonderful thing. So says Rav Huttner, if the chinuch is correct, if the initial step is correct, then making that routine is absolutely a wonderful value. Shetargilenu b'sorasecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Yihi Ratzon. Next, we say v'dab keinu b'mitzvosecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us cling, help us cleave and stick to your mitzvos. What does it mean to be davik to a mitzvah? How do you cling? How do you latch on to a mitzvah? So we know the Eglet Tal, written by the Sacher Shavu Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, and just for good, the Neos Nesha, the other sefer that he wrote. So he writes in the Eglet Tal, the Hakdama, the introduction, that famous introduction about loving Talmud Torah. And he explains how enjoying Talmud Torah, Simcha and Talmud Torah, is part of the mitzvah itself. You have to read it inside to get the whole flavor. But he basically explains that if a person wants to be davuk, wants to cling to Torah, he has to get enjoyment. He has to chap hana'a, that's how you say it in French, chap hana'a from the Torah. And if you chap hana'a from Talmud Torah, you'll be clinging, you'll be sticking, you'll be friends, you'll be tight with the Torah. So apparently, you have to have that same sort of hana'a. This is a sefer called Avodas Levav, which has this comment. You have that same type of love and enjoyment and hana'a that you get from Torah. You should get a geshmak from mitzvos. And if you get a geshmak from mitzvos, then b'davkeinu b'mitzvosecha, you'll be able to cling and latch onto and be close to the mitzvos that you do. Okay, shkoyach, so how do you get close to mitzvos? How do you get hana'a from mitzvos? How do you enjoy a mitzvah? So I don't know the answer, but maybe four ideas, one of which, or two of which, we can put into our lives, put into practice. The first and most obvious answer, and this is true about all relationships, by the way, is we have to study the mitzvos. If you want to be close with mitzvos and enjoy mitzvos and like feel good about them and get a geshmak from them, you have to know them and understand them and get to know them pretty intimately. And if you start to understand the differences and the nuances in halacha, and when you're supposed to do X and when you're supposed to do Y, and when there are exceptions and when there are hidurim and when there are kulas, if you start to understand the details of the mitzvah, like any person you get to know, as you get to know them better, you become more in love with them, and you sometimes get more of a geshmak out of them because you feel like you understand them better. A mitzvah is no different. The relationship with a mitzvah comes from deepening our understanding of that mitzvah. Additionally, related but different, is that you don't have to study only the halachos of the mitzvah, you should study the taimei mitzvahs, the reasons for the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are endlessly deep. Amok amok, they're endlessly deep. Amok amok mitim sani. You can't finish it. You can't plumb the depths of the taimei mitzvahs, the reasons for the mitzvahs. But even if you can't get to the bottom, you can get somewhere. You can scratch the surface. And even that surface is so beautiful, so gorgeous. When you start to understand what's meaningful, what's motivating, what's inspiring about any given mitzvah, it gives you a geshmak. It gives you a good feeling. When you start to understand what Shabbos is about, aside from the halachos, you start to develop a relationship with Shabbos. Shabbos becomes more meaningful because you understand what the goals are, you understand what the values are, and bringing those into your life gives you a geshmak in the mitzvah of Shabbos. Thirdly, if you want to get to love mitzvos and feel good about mitzvos, you have to sacrifice for mitzvos. This is famous from Rav Dessler, that ahava, the word love, ahava in Hebrew, comes from the shoresh, the root of hav, which means that in order to love something, you have to give to it. You have to sacrifice in order to feel love for something. You have to sacrifice for mitzvos too. Mitzvos that are easy come are easy go. Mitzvos that we were most nefesh for, this is Gemara and Shabbos. Mitzvos that we were most nefesh for, those are the mitzvos that stuck with Klal Yisrael. Because a mesiras nefesh means giving of ourselves to the mitzvah, sacrificing, giving, gifting something from ourselves to the mitzvos, brings us closer to the mitzvah, gives us a love and a geshmak and an enjoyment for that mitzvah. Sacrificing for the mitzvah helps you develop that relationship as well. Lastly, and this is a hara of that sefer, Avodas Levav, he explains that the truth is you don't even need all of those intricate ideas that we just suggested. He said the very fact that a person is mevatel his raton, does away with his own will, and says, I'll listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Whatever he says, wherever he says to go, I'll follow. And when he says jump, I'll say how high. The very fact that we subjugate ourselves and give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the happiest place we could be. That's the most enjoyment we can get. He quotes a beautiful Ibn Ezra and Tillim. We don't have time for it now. But the most beautiful, enjoyable thing a person can have in life is giving themselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feeling they're enveloped in the greatest thing in the world, in the biggest thing in the world, in the biggest tachlis and tafkid in the world. And all of a sudden, nothing else matters. Nothing else exists. And they have simcha, true, pure simcha of being lifnei Hashem. We can have that through mitzvos. So developing that kesher with mitzvos comes from developing a geshmak and a love for mitzvos, and that comes from all the previous things we said. Studying the mitzvos, studying the reasons for the mitzvos, also sacrificing for the mitzvos, and just recognizing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what to do, and we have the pleasure and the honor of saying, okay, we'll do it. We submit ourselves to you. We'll follow your command wherever you lead us. In the next lines you have over here, about tivi enu loli dechet, loli de adera ve'avon. We could spend the whole night on this, because this is the most repetitive line in the entire Yiratzon, no? Chet, Avera, Avon. It's true that, you know, Chet and Avera, one might be Shogi, one might be Mazed, intentional and unintentional, but Avon is certainly intentional as well as Avera, so what are the differences? You have to figure these things out. But one very basic, crucial question over here is that V'al Tivienu Hashem, don't lead us to sin. That sounds like it's against some Ikar Emunah, no? Doesn't that, I mean, not literally Ikar Emunah, but Ikar Emunah, the way the Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah, that we believe in free will. We believe that each person is a free agent, has the ability to make choices and decide what they do in their life. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't make you sin, and he can't make you not sin. He gives you the free choice to make your decision. So what are we davening for when we say, V'al Tivienu Lo Lidei Chet, V'lo Lidei Avera, V'lo Lidei Avon? What are we davening for? So Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman has a beautiful comment over here, just very simple, very basic, but it's important to focus on this. When you're saying these words, what do these words even mean? That Hashem shouldn't lead us to sin. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make someone sin, doesn't make someone not sin. But we know Chazal are replete with different ways of saying this, different examples of this, that Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, there's a certain siyata d'shmaya, there's a certain divine assistance and providence that a person needs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a little bit of hand-holding in order to avoid averos. The more hand-holding you have, the better shot we have at being tzaddikim, the better shot we have at avoiding averos. The Gemara tells us in Yuman Pei Zayin that if a person is mezakeh es harabim, the Gemara says, ein chet ba liyado. If a person does good for the rabbim, he helps the rabbim, helps the public, ein chet ba liyado. Sin won't come into his hands. What does that mean? Sin won't, he won't sin anymore? It's a guarantee? So Rashi says, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sort of push the sins out of his way, which means that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu by our side all the time. How much is going to help us? How much hand-holding is going to give us? How much is going to swipe away for us sins that are on the way? That depends on our relationship with him. That depends on this tefillah, V'al Tivienu Lo Dechet. We have free will, but we also have the assistance. We have the Siyat HaShemayah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu by our sides. How much of a degree of help we'll get from him will depend again on our actions and also our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Veloli Dini Sayon is a very, very important line. In the interest of time, we'll skip to the next one. But it's Kedai, maybe we should do a part two. But it's Kedai to see Veloli Dini Sayon in depth. Veloli Dini Vizayon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu we daven, that you should not bring us to feel any embarrassment, any disgrace, any shame in our lives. What's the Vizayon referring to? What shame are we asking Hashem to protect us from? So two possibilities that break into three. One, perhaps it's just the inherent Vizayon in Olam Hazeh, if Chas V'Shalom we fail at our nisonos, and we commit chet, avera, ve'avon. There's a certain level, let's say in two ways. There's hopefully some peer pressure in a person's life. If I miss shachar, if I go to shachar's of the minion every day, and then I miss, it is embarrassing because people know I'm there. If there's no accountability, it's not embarrassing because no one knew I wasn't there in the first place. They don't know, they probably think I daven at, what's that minion factory called? Whatever. Shuva, or whatever. If you're there at Shuva, you say you're at the other minion factory. You'll figure out a way to get around it. But if you're at a specific minion every day, there's an accountability. If you miss shachar, I'm going to know. Trust me. First of all, we're not going to have anyone blow shofar. But second of all, I'm going to know because I see you there every day. We have a relationship through chakras. There's an accountability. And if you miss, there's a bizayon. There's an embarrassment. There's a shame in that. And that's true about all mitzvahs. The person sitting at a table and talks Lashon Hara, accidentally, they should look to their peer to the side and they should be feeling like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that in front of him. Like, what was I doing talking Lashon Hara? What was I doing talking that way, acting that way? If we associate with the right people, with the right chevra, then there's a bizayon that's natural in this world to averos that we commit. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let us fail, because that would lead to tremendous disgrace, to tremendous shame in Olam Hazeh, in this world. Additionally, even more fundamentally and crucially, we have to feel a bizayon in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we sin. if we don't feel embarrassed when we commit averos, it's because we do not think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. If a person, my Rebbe always gives this mashal, the person's walking up the stairs and he trips and falls on his face, so there are two different reactions. Automatically, you look behind you to see if anyone's watching, correct? Now, if someone is there, it's super embarrassing. And you have to pretend that you were like looking for a quarter or something. You have to make it up, right? You have to pretend they didn't just trip and fall on your face. But what if you look behind you and no one's there? Nothing happened. It's not embarrassing. It's not a big deal. Nothing happened. The difference between feeling embarrassed and not feeling embarrassed is whether someone is watching. And if we do an Aveira and we don't feel embarrassed in front of the Ribbono Shel'olam, it proves that we do not feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there watching what we're doing. Lo lidei bizayon, we have to focus on the fact that a mitzvah should lead to bizayon before Hashem. There should be a disgrace, an embarrassment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Yonah writes this, the Rambam writes this. This is part of the Ikari HaTshuva. In order to do tshuva, a person has to work on feeling embarrassed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because otherwise it doesn't work. There's no one you're reporting to. There's no one watching you. You could trip up the stairs all you want. Sometimes you do it just for fun if no one's watching. It's no big deal. But says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm here, I'm watching, then there's a bizayon. So be dam to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let me fall into that trap of bizyonos by committing an avera. That's all in Olam Hazeh. The Sefer Avodas Leivav that we quoted before says there's also a possibility, we won't spend time in it, this is referring to Olam Haba as well. That even if a person is going to end up in Gan Eden, never mind Gehenna, but if a person is going to end up in Gan Eden, it's a little embarrassing when I'm going to end up in Gan Eden and Menachem is going to be 10 seats ahead of me in the front row and I'm going to be in the back with the, I'm not going to say which one of you, but we'll all be in different rows is the point. We'll all be in different rows, and some of us are going to be more proud than others. Some of us are going to be a little more embarrassed than others, because some of us are going to have better seats at the grand finale, at the grand show of Olam Haba. That's embarrassing. That's going to be a bizayon. V'lo li bizayon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. I don't want a bizayon either. I want to feel that I have a kesher to you, and that I'm growing, and I'm not chas shalom behind anyone else around me, even in the Olam Ha'emes.
Bizayon specifically be something
like Hashem? Sure, absolutely. That's probably the biggest bizayon. The most objective and obvious and disgraceful and yeah, for sure, absolutely. Again, there's more things to talk about, but let's skip to the very last one in the interest of time. The bracha basically ends, the yiratzon and the bracha end, v'sigmelenu chasadim tovim, and baruch atah Hashem hagomel chasadim tovim l'ama Yisrael. So there's a very basic linguistic issue over here. What does the word gomel mean? What's gumul? It's not a camel, so just don't say that. Payment, right? Payment. It's a reward, a repayment for something. So there's some chov that's owed, there's some debt that's owed, and your gomel, you pay back that debt. You pay back that chov. What's chesed? Kindness, right? Okay, so if I go do a chesed for someone, it's because I owe them the chesed? No, it's because I go out of my way to do a chesed for them. I may never have met this person, but I go to visit him in the hospital because he's a chayal, and he's supporting the entire Jewish people. I owe him on one level, but I don't owe him personally. I go to do a chesed. I'm not gomel chesed. I do chesed. Gmilas chasadim is a funny term. It's a contradiction of terms. Gmul means a payment. Chesed means you didn't deserve it even. So what do we mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is gomel chasadim? That v'sigmalenu chasadim tovim. What does it mean that you have a gmul of chesed? Those two terms seem contradictory, mineuve. So the obvious answer, and it's a beautiful answer and it's an important answer, and people do say this, is that ein hachanami. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is chesed. And it's chesed tov. It's a gracious, loving kindness that's above and beyond what we deserve. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world in such a way that we feel like it's a gemul. We feel like we're earning the reward. It shouldn't be nahama de kisufa. It shouldn't be bread that we're given as poor people, just throwing the bread at us. You guys here, you don't deserve it, but just take it. Take it as a gift. No, we want to work for our schar. The truth is, we don't deserve anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. He gives us much more than we could expect and much more we could deserve. But he makes us feel like it's a gemul. He makes us feel like we're being rewarded. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sigmalenu chasadim tovim, give us the chesed and let us feel like we earned it. Let us feel like the Sargilenu b'sarasecha, the Sadbikenu b'misasecha, all the things we're davening for in this Yiratzon were the reason we deserved that reward, that we earned, that we worked hard, and therefore we deserved it. It should be a chesed, but it should feel like a gemul. So tomorrow morning, hopefully with the notes or even without the notes, we should wake up in the morning, we should wipe the sleep out of our eyes, we should be thankful for waking up, and we should focus on what waking up means. It means that we need to engage in all these things. It means we need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyat Shmaya to engage in all these things. And if that's true, then we daven and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Gomel Chesed to all of us for many, many years to come.